الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, our beloved alayhi salatu wa salam said, "The one who recites salat upon me 10 times, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 100 mercies upon him." Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest prophet sent to mankind. He alayhi salam is the beloved of Allah. He is our leader. He is the leader of the Anbiya as well. Nabiul Anbiya. He is a prophet to the prophets alayhi salam. He is the best of Allah Ta'ala's creation. Khayru khalqillah. And as such, Allah Ta'ala blessed our Nabi alayhi salam with the loftiest and greatest attributes as well. There are so many attributes, awsaf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the ulama have written about, have expanded upon. Inshallah, today we will hear about one of those beautiful and blessed attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which if we study sincerely, we can adopt in our lives as well. This attribute is our beloved alayhi salam's humbleness throughout his life. He was the greatest prophet. He was the most beloved prophet. Yet he was the most humble prophet as well. Let's begin by hearing a narration which Imam Abu Nu'aym rahimahullahu ta'ala has reported. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma is the narrator. He states that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was sitting when Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam came to his noble court. At the same time, in a corner of the heavens split asunder, split open, and an angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exited, and that angel also came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What angel was that? That was Sayyiduna Israfil alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Israfil alayhi salam gave salam to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah." And thereafter, he said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you salam, and I have come to you with a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." What was that message that Sayyiduna Israfil alayhi salam came with to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? This is a divine message, a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That message was, "In shi'ta nabiyan abdan wa in shi'ta nabiyan malikan." That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, O beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have two choices. You have two options. You can either remain a prophet in whom the attribute of abdiyat, the attribute of slavehood is ghalib, is dominant, meaning you can be a prophet who is very humble. Or if you want, you can be a prophet who is a king as well. And we know Sayyiduna Sulaiman alayhi salam, previously, before our beloved Prophet alayhi salam, was a king. So this choice was given to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Either you remain a humble slave of Allah, a prophet of that nature, or you're a prophet in whom this attribute of kingship is dominant. What do you think our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose? In fact, the narration states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to Jibreel alayhi salam for a mashwara. Even though our beloved alayhi salam is the most intelligent in Allah Ta'ala's creation, we learn from this that we should always take mashwara of others, even if we may be more intelligent than them, even if we may think we're not in need of their mashwara. Remember in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said that the one who takes a mashwara, he consults with people, he never suffers harm, he never suffers loss. There is no loss in taking a mashwara from someone. Anyhow, Jibreel alayhi salam indicated to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he should choose to be a Nabi, Nabiyan Abdan. He said, Antawada, you should choose the humble option, to be humble, a humble Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam chose. And after this, he turned to Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he said to her, O Aisha, I chose to be Nabiyan Abdan, a prophet in whom the attribute of slavehood is dominant, a humble prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a prophet who is a king or a ruler. And then subhanallah, he mentions what would have happened if he had chosen to be a prophet who is a king. He said, Law kuntu Nabiyan Malikan. If I chose to be a Nabi who is a king, then ثُمَّ شِئْتُ لَصَارَتْ مَعِيَ الْجِبَالُ ذَهَبًا. And what would have happened? Mountains of gold would have traveled alongside me. Mountains of gold would have walked alongside me. But our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam chose to be humble and chose to be a sincere slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wanted, he could have been a king. But we see throughout his blessed life, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us lessons of humility and humbleness. And we are in need of those lessons. Today, every other person is suffering from arrogance. People look down on others. People consider others as inferior, whether that's due to wealth, whether that's due to beauty, whether that's due to status, whether that's due to rank, whether it's due to for any other reason. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions 8 reasons in total for a person becoming arrogant. So whatever the reason, today this is very common in our society. And our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was far from arrogance. Arrogance did not even come close to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he was the best of Allah Ta'ala's creation. And we see this as well throughout his life on various occasions. Take for example, Hajjatul Wada', the farewell Hajj, the final pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Approximately 124,000 Sahaba ridwanullahi alaihim ajma'in are present in that Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed such levels of humbleness, subhanallah, that is reported that the animal, the camel that he was riding upon, and the saddle and whatever was on the camel was of very low quality, meaning it was very old. And the cloth that was upon that camel, upon the saddle, etc., only cost 4 dirhams. Only cost 4 dirhams. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is riding upon that. Meaning if he wanted, he could have had any ride, the most expensive ride, the finest camel of Arabia. But our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to ride upon that. And in fact, in other narration it states that our Prophet alayhi salam would not shy away from even using a donkey as a mode of transport. A donkey. So, this was the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did he make dua with in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What were his words? Listen to the words carefully. Again, every single aspect in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, you will see in simplicity, you will see humbleness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said,
Allahumma ja'alha hajjatan mabruratan la riya'a fiha wa la sum'atan.
He said, Oh Allah, make this hajj an accepted hajj, free from ostentation, free from showing off, and free from seeking fame. Who's saying this? Our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did anything with ostentation. He never did anything to show off. Our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did any action to seek the praise of people or fame. Yet look at the dua he's making. This is his ajizi, this is his humbleness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, what's our situation? I think it's best that we don't even speak about that. When people go for hajj, ma'adallah, the things they come out with. I've paid to come here. It shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like that. But look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That he is the best of Allah ta'ala's creation. And he's making dua, Ya Allah, may this hajj be accepted, free from ostentation, free from seeking fame. And we know that our hajj is accepted due to the blessing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is ta'limul ummah. This is instruction for the ummah. That you must be humble in your worship, in your muamalat, in your dealings, in every single aspect of your lives. We must follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Also, it's narrated, Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala an states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would at times ride on a donkey. And along with this, he would make his khadim, his servant, sit behind him on that animal. In today's day and age, the higher a person's rank, the higher a person's social status, he wants to see a reflection of that in the mode of transport he uses. He wants to be driven around in certain cars. He wants to be seen in certain cars. And he wants to only be in those cars with close people, certain people, people of a high rank as well. And this is, again, this is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salam even used a donkey as a mode of transport. And behind him, he has his khadim, his slave sitting there. This is the ajizi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't want no protocol. He didn't ask for a specific ride. He didn't say that I want so and so to travel with me. No. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would even accept the invitations of slaves as well. Let's be honest, in that day and age, what could a slave offer? Even if he invited someone. He was poor, he was impoverished. But our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again showing humbleness and showing his love towards the ummah, pleasing the heart of a believer, he would even accept the invitations of ghulams, slaves as well. He would go to their house. Today, the tables have turned. Today, what has happened to the ummah? If someone invites us, someone asks us to come, we first think, what's my benefit in going there? Or people I heard saying, I went there last year, the food wasn't all that. I don't think I should go. Allahu Akbar, all of these things on our mind. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to please the heart of the ummati, a slave, he would go and accept his invitation. He knew that much food wasn't going to be presented, but pleasing the heart of a Muslim was the objective. And this is something we need to adopt today. Humbleness in our muamalat with every class of people. Whether it's lower class, middle class, upper class. And we should treat one and all with respect and with humbleness as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ajizi we were discussing. Again we see that manifested in the battle of Khandaq. Many battles took place in the early period of Islam, expeditions. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, it's documented that during the battle of Khandaq, the battle of the trenches, those who have been honored to go to Al-Madinatul Munawwara may have seen this blessed site as well. Sab'a Masajid, etc., where the battle of the trench took place. Now, during the digging of the trenches, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the leader of the Sahaba. He is the master of the Sahaba. He could have very well just sat there comfortably or stood there and supervised the Sahaba and said, do this, do that, dig here, pick up this soil, move it here. But in this narration, in Sahih al-Bukhari, we're told that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself took part in the digging of the trench. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam joined with his Sahaba in digging those trenches. Not only that, he would pick up the soil and move it as well. To the extent that when you pick up soil, what happened? Some of it falls onto your clothes. It's mentioned that the blessed stomach of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was covered in that soil. This was how much effort he put in. And this was him participating in a difficult, hard task with his own Sahaba. His humbleness again. He is the king of all creation. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in were willing to do every single thing he said. Yet he alayhi salatu wassalam is joining in with the Sahaba and helping them dig the trench as well. Subhanallah. Likewise, there are so many other narrations as well. In one narration, Sayyiduna Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala narrates. And he takes a qasam as well. He says, by Allah, the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What he means here is the door to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was never closed for people. And also, there was no barrier there. There was no guard there preventing people. Again, look at today's day and age. Somebody is a personality, somebody is a VIP, celebrity or anything. And none of them come close to our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam anyway. But I'm just giving you an example of today. To approach such a person high up in rank, in position, you have to go through so many hurdles. You have to contact one person, then you have to contact another person. There's people there who will give you permission, and only then you will be able to see him. But with our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala and states that there was no one there at the door of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was open for one and all. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, whenever they willed, whenever they liked, they would go and visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he continues and he says, whoever desired to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could easily meet him. He was easily accessible, our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the leader of hundreds of thousands of Sahaba at that time. So many people embraced Islam. Islam became dominant in such a short period of time. Yet if they wanted to access the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and go to his noble court, they could do so with ease. This was the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Imam Hassan continues, our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would sit on the ground. He would sit on the ground. Remember, there are no luxury carpets, no expensive rugs or anything of the sort. On the ground, our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit. Again, his humbleness. Also, his food would be placed on the ground as well. We know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat down and ate. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another narration, we're told that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not lean against something and eat, and that was considered something bad. The umara, the affluent people, people of the dunya would do that at the time, and perhaps even today. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like that, and it wasn't good custom. The shurafa, the noble people, would not do that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't even lean on anything to consume his food as well. He would just sit on the ground. Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala continues and he says, وَيَلْبَسُ الْغَلِيظَ. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam would wear clothes which were thick and coarse. Meaning, if you cast your mind to the heat of Arabia, the desert heat of Arabia, scorching heat, when people visit for Umrah, it's unbearable because we're not used to that level of heat. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even in that weather, would wear thick clothes. This was his humbleness. He could have worn any clothes. All he had to do was signal to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Just one sentence he would have to say and that's it. It would have piled thousands of pairs of clothes before him. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose to wear these clothes. Also, we heard this earlier on, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would even sit on a donkey and use it as a ride as well. Nowadays, people can't be seen in cars that are deemed as old in society, or they're not the most fanciest cars, luxury cars. People want to be seen in expensive cars. And look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam riding even on a donkey. This was his humbleness. And he would allow his slave to sit behind him on that animal as well. And also, after eating his food, after finishing from his meal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lick his fingertips as well. The remnants of food on his fingertips. This is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, the sunnah is eternal. Fashion changes, trends come and go. But the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the simplicity of the sunnah is eternal. And salvation lies in following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in just one paragraph, you could say Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala and told us so much about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's humbleness. How he would eat, how he would sit. Every single aspect of his blessed life tells us that he was the most humble of Allah ta'ala's creation. That's why he was the most loftiest as well. Even for us today, if we adopt humbleness, there is no loss in that. People say, don't be too humble. You need to deal with certain people in a certain way. Don't be like this, don't be like that. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Whoever humbles himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise that person in rank. People can't raise you in rank. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will grant you prosperity, grant you success, make you flourish, make you achieve such great heights that you can never imagine. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No problem of ours is big for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No difficulty of ours is big in the sight of Allah. In an instant, He can change our situation. But we have to adopt the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to be humble in our lives. We have to adopt ajizi. And what's the opposite? Arrogance. Arrogance is a deadly disease of the heart. Arrogance is a disease that caused many problems from day one. Right from the beginning. Shaitan, even before that, when he refused to do sajda to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, it was arrogance, takabbur, that led to his downfall. So our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was never arrogant. He was always humble. On one occasion, a woman, a widow, she came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked for her, a need of hers to be fulfilled. He was facing a problem. The Prophet alayhi salam never expressed dislike. Why is a widow coming to me? Why is so-and-so coming to me? He happily listened to what they have to say and he would help them as well. At times, he would even go along with them to fulfill their need as well. This was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was his humbleness. This was the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that we need to adopt in our lives today as well. So he's always humble. Even on the day of the conquest of Makkah, Al-Mukarramah, when all those staunch enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are lined up before him. Remember, these people of Makkah, the Quraysh, the polytheists, they had martyred many Sahaba. They made the Muslims move to the valley of Abi Talib. There was a social boycott of the Muslims for 3 years in the early period of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made to leave Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah and he had to do hijrah towards Al-Madinatul Munawwarah. All of these things happened. Some of his own family members were tortured and oppressed as well. Yet on the day of the conquest of Makkah Al-Mukarramah, look at the mercy and humble nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That those very same people are lined up in front of him. And they're scared. They're fearful because they know the Prophet ﷺ can take revenge. If he wants to, he can take revenge. And the Prophet ﷺ said, what do you think? What do you think that I will do to you? And they said, khayran. You will do good to us. Why? Because you are a noble man and you are a son of a noble man as well. Referring to his father, Sayyidina Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to them, that today I say to you what Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers. That today there's no rebuke upon you. May Allah forgive you and He is the most merciful. And he said, you're all free. Imagine staunch enemies before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how he deals with them. This was his conduct. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when referencing the beautiful and blessed character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Quran al-Kareem, he says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed, O beloved alayhi salam, you are upon great character. Azeem, great character. Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala, he stayed in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for about 10 years. Now 10 years is a large amount of time. 10 years is not a small period of time. 10 whole years. Now, if someone stays with us for 10 years, and you ask them after 10 years, how was your time with him? Yeah, it was good, alhamdulillah. But if you were to get the details, did he ever scold you? Did he ever say anything bad about you? Did he ever rebuke you? Did he ever discipline you? And you say, yeah, plenty of time. But that was tough love, that was for my benefit. Waghaira, waghaira. But Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala, who spent 10 years in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, never ever did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ever rebuke me, ever scold me, ever tell me off. And in that 10 year period, there was never a case where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, oh Anas, why did you not do this? And also, why did you do this? Two things. Oh Anas, why didn't you do this? And why did you do this? He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever said that to me in a 10 year period. So this was the blessed character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even when the polytheists of Makkah were asked about the character of the Prophet alayhi salam, even though they had so much hatred for him, even though they wanted to assassinate him, even though they wanted to stop the Islam he came with, when they were asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they had to tell the truth. There was no other way. And when they would go to different kings, different people, and they would ask, how is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how is his character? And they would say, he's truthful, he's trustworthy, he has good character, he's a trustworthy person. This shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from day one, throughout his blessed life, was an embodiment of good character. And today we heard about his humbleness, that despite being the best of all creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not demand things. I need a certain ride, certain house, only certain people can come and sit with me. None of this. In fact, the opposite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rode on any animal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate any food. The Prophet alaihi wasallam would accept the da'wat of fuqara, slaves as well, poor people, just to please their heart. This was the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, things have changed. A person gets a bit of status in society, a bit of rank. He doesn't want to know others. He only wants to know people who are in the same position. And he shows arrogance towards others. Remember, arrogance has been the downfall of many throughout history. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from arrogance. May Allah jalla wa ala, for the sake of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, grant us the tawfiq to show humbleness in our lives as well. Ameen, bi jahin Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.